Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today, coming to you live from Kenya today. And we have a beautiful sunny day. I've been working out at the Living Water Children's Home, the orphanage. We now have 12 children and more on the way. Plus, we are feeding 40 preschool children when the preschool starts up at New Hope Preschool down at Mione. But we have 12 children at the Living Water Children's Home and 4 caretaker children. So we have 16 children we're taking care of out there. And so it's becoming a very lively place. And today I have to say I goofed off in the name of Jesus because we set up a volleyball net and played volleyball for about 2 hours. And I was pretty exhausted because those kids have a lot of energy and they don't mind playing around in the hot sun. They like it. They sweat. They drink. Living Water Children's Home has become an athletic field. They have swings. They have jungle gym. They have big slide coming. We're going to mount that in the end of this week. And so it's becoming a very athletic place. And also the kids there, because they're out of school because of the coronavirus situation, the children there are in school for about 2.5 hours each day. And so they're learning mathematics, they're learning English and writing, and they're drawing and coloring. The younger kids have color crayons and color books. And so it's quite an active place. It's just great to see it. If you've been a part of that over the years, if you've been one that has prayed for that children's home or one that has donated to it, you would be very pleased, you would be very satisfied to see it now because it's a joy to see those children. They're getting fed, they're getting good food, and so they're in a very good place. They're getting good care, they're in a very good place, and so that is the place that the Lord has them for now. So we're going to go back to our study of the Holy Spirit. This study was started 2 weeks ago, and then last week I diverted and went and talked about the racial problems, the race relations in America, and what I see. And so if you missed that message last week, go to my website. If it's not posted there, it will be shortly, gatheredtheoutcast.com. I'm not going to keep preaching on that now because I feel like there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of chatter out there. There's plenty of words being spoken on the race relations. I think you need to pray. I need to pray for America. America is in a very dangerous and perilous place, and you now see armed insurgents, you might say. It looks a bit like Mogadishu or a bit like Afghanistan. You now see armed insurgents taking over at least one city in America, and the police have retreated, and I'm not sure what's going to happen there, but I wrote about this in my book, Prophecies for America. I was given a vision by the Lord many years ago, not that many, but some years ago, that armed people would be roaming the streets of America and we would have to be defending our property, defending our businesses and our homes from these armed insurgents, and also that there would be martial law declared over America. There would be military in the streets of America. There would be troops in the cities keeping order and taking over where the police have not been able to establish law and order. So the things the Lord showed me and that I wrote in that book, Prophecies for America, are now coming to pass. And so it would be beneficial for you to get that book, Prophecies for America. You can get it from my website, gatheredtheoutcast.com, or you can go to Amazon and order it, but it will give you an insight, a view of the things that are yet to come in the days, the troubling and perilous days, the days of sorrow, the days of birth pangs that are upon us here in America, and they will become more intense, and there's going to be some very troubling and chaotic times coming to America. And the Lord has shown me this. The Lord does nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And so that is what the Lord has showed me. And I wrote them in that book. And so it would be beneficial for you to get that book, to read it, and start praying for those things that are coming to America. Well, the Holy Spirit was poured out in the second chapter of Acts in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And beloved, this was and is a historical event. It was even more than a historical event. It can be an event in your life because it is God's will that every single person have their Pentecost. It is God's will that every single person have the Holy Spirit poured out upon their life and the Holy Spirit come into their life to counsel them, to be an advocate for them, and to be a comforter to them. All of these things the Holy Spirit does. It convicts us. It convicts our heart when we are engaged in sin, and it counsels us and comforts us, counsels us when we need wisdom, counsels us when we have the enemy strategizing against us and the enemy trying to make inroads into our life. And the Holy Spirit is also our comforter when we have grief, when we have sorrow, when we have tragedy in our life. And so all of these things the Holy Spirit does for us, it's just as if Jesus were standing beside us. It's just as if Jesus were walking with us, holding our hand, and at times lifting us up and carrying us on his back. The Holy Spirit does all of that. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan, but I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to leave you with the Comforter. And so when Jesus left the disciples, he was faithful and true to his promise that he would leave the Holy Spirit with us and that he would leave the Holy Spirit to counsel us and to comfort us and to be our advocate when the devil tries to tear us down. Well, I'm going to review for just a minute here the things that we talked about 2 weeks ago when we were talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the disciples in Acts 1:7, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Because they were asking about, well, Jesus, when are you going to establish your kingdom here on this earth? And they were thinking about the earthly military kingdom where they could throw off the yoke of the Romans. And Jesus says, it isn't for you to know the times or the seasons of these clashes, of these seasons that the Lord has put in his authority. And that goes for right now too. We see things happening. We see seasons of unrest. We see seasons of calm. We see seasons of earthquakes, seasons of fires, seasons of calamity, seasons of rejoicing. And we don't know the times or the seasons. Very seldom does the Lord pinpoint for us when things are going to start, when things are going to end. And in a way, it depends on our prayers, beloved. It depends on the prayers of the saints to help the Lord determine the times and the seasons, even though he is a sovereign God, but also he weighs and he considers the prayers of the saints, the cries of the saints. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so Jesus didn't even tell the disciples, those who had walked with him for 3.5 years, he didn't even tell them the exact time, date, or place where the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out on them. He just said, wait for the promise of the Father, and when that promise comes, you will be there to receive it. You will be in place to receive it. You will be in position to receive what the Father has promised for you to receive. So then Jesus was taken up from them. He was taken up into a cloud, and two angels said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And I'm sure that the disciples wondered, well, how's he going to come back? And the angels knew that they were bewildered. The angels knew that they had questions in their hearts and on their minds. And so the angel said, he's coming back just like you saw him leave. Well, so they returned to Jerusalem. They waited. They were obedient. They were patient. They were praying. They were with 120 people in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And they waited 10 days. And so, beloved, that is a message for us, that is a teaching for us. Sometimes we just need to wait on the Lord. We get impatient. We jump ahead of the Lord. We want to run out ahead of Him. But it is always best to pray, to watch and pray, and to be patient. We don't know the times or the seasons. Don't bother trying to guess everything that you think you know about the Lord. And so when the day of Pentecost came, they were in place, they were in position, and this is also a teaching for us. If you want to go deeper with the Lord, you have to get in position. If you want to have revelation from the Lord, you have to get in position. You have to prepare your heart, prepare your mind, prepare your soul. You have to spend time in God's Word, maybe spend time in fasting and prayer and in intense study of God's Word, and you are positioning yourself then for an acceleration of the Spirit. You are positioning yourself for a revelation to be given to you from the Lord. You're positioning yourself for a ministry to be given to you from the Lord. You're positioning yourself for sanctification. You're positioning yourself towards a higher level. And so you have to position yourself just like these disciples and apostles, these 120 people. You have to position yourself and know that God knows you are preparing yourself to receive something from Him. And that's exactly what happened. When the day of Pentecost came, and this is Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one tongue sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so, beloved, don't read this just as a historical event or an historical event. Don't read this as just something that happened 2,000 years ago. And that was really nice. That was great for the disciples and those 120 people. That was wonderful that they could receive this. It was wonderful, but it is even more wonderful now, because you and I can also receive the Holy Spirit, this baptism of fire. You can receive that power. Jesus promised you will receive power, and you will want to be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Beloved, I can tell you from my testimony, if I had not received the baptism of fire and the Holy Spirit was not poured out within my heart, and that full immersion of the Holy Spirit was not given to me, I would not be here in Kenya today. I would not be sitting where I am today. I would probably be back in the USA pondering my next crop to plant there on my farm, or pondering how to prune my fruit trees. And that's all well and good. Those are good things to do. But beloved, God will give you the power to go and be a witness for Him, witness into places that you never would have considered had you not received that power, had you not received that Holy Spirit and gave you the fire and gave you the power to go and be a witness just as God wants you to be. And I say this is for every single person. This isn't just for Jim. This isn't just for Reinhard Bonnke. This isn't just for some people that you see on the TV or some people radio. No, this is for every single believer, and those who have not even yet come into the kingdom can receive the Holy Spirit power when they come into the kingdom, because this is for every single person, and this is God's plan, and it is His will. Don't argue that this is not His will, because this is His will. He said, you will receive power to the disciples, but He was speaking to all believers. And so don't try to argue that we don't need the Holy Spirit. Don't try to argue that we don't need the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that some point in time we don't need those anymore because now the church is established, or now the Bible has been written, or now the denominations are established all over the earth and churches. No, we need the power of the Holy Spirit today just as much as it was needed back when the church was started, back in the day of Pentecost when the disciples received that Holy Spirit. Well, I want to point out to you in verse 4 that they were all filled. There was 120 people in that upper room that were together, praying together, and they were praying for that promise, and it says they were all filled. None was left out. There wasn't half of them that received it. There wasn't a fourth of them that received it. It was said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem, verse 5, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. So this was not a miracle of hearing. The hearing was just fine. Their hearing was good. But what they were hearing was the gospel message, the good news of the gospel, was being spoken to them in their own language. And they knew that this was a miracle. This new language that the people were speaking was not the language of the Galileans. It was not the language of Jesus Christ. It was the language of all of these people that were gathered from many nations. And so the people that were there were in awe. They were maybe stunned, I guess you would say. They were shocked because the Holy Spirit was giving these disciples the utterance to speak in languages that they did not know and that had never studied, and yet they were able to preach and teach the gospel message in these foreign languages. Well, it lists then in Acts 8, 9, and 10, 11, it lists all these different nations that were receiving the gospel message, all these peoples from different nations that were there in Jerusalem. They were receiving the gospel message. And so that message then was spoken to them. And of course, there had to be mockers there, because there's always mockers wherever kingdom power is evident. Wherever the kingdom of God shows up, there's always mockers, there's scoffers, there's people who don't believe, there's naysayers. And just as it was in that day, so it is in this day, beloved, when you're really on fire for the Lord, when you're really seeking the Lord, and you really want to move and accelerate in the kingdom, there will be mockers, there will be naysayers. It may be people that are very close to you. It may be people that you least suspect, maybe even people from your church, people from your Bible study, even your spouse may be a naysayer. And so these mockers stood up and said, these people that are speaking this message, they are filled with new wine. In other words, they're drunk. Well, Peter stands up and he says, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you that these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet. And so Peter referenced a scripture that we studied 2 weeks ago, and this was the prophecy spoken by the prophet Joel, and it's in the book of Joel. You can read it for yourself, Joel 2:28. And Peter knew this scripture because he knew the Old Testament. He knew the scriptures from the Old Testament. And so he said, this, what you see happening right here, what you hear happening and see happening, was spoken by the prophet Joel. And this prophecy was given 700 years before Jesus walked the earth. And then in verse 16, Peter starts to speak this prophecy. And in verse 17, he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Well, this is an awesome, incredible prophecy. Peter explained it to the scoffers. He explained it to the people who were there and the ones who received the gospel message. And he even explained it to his comrades, I guess you'd say, his colleagues, who maybe didn't understand the fullness of it. And he said, this is what Joel prophesied. This is what our Lord was talking about. This is what the Lord told us to wait for. And now you see it. Now you hear it. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the living God, has been poured out on all of these people. And the Holy Spirit is uttering through them the gospel message in languages that they do not know and that they have never studied and that they do not understand. And so this was an incredible moment in time, an incredible experience. And Peter talked about two things that are prominent gifts of the Holy Spirit. He said that the sons and daughters of you people will prophesy. That was one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that the sons and daughters will prophesy. And he also said that you shall speak with tongues, and because they began to speak with other tongues, that the gift of tongues was given so that people could speak a message in an unknown tongue and they could speak in a language that they had never studied or never known or never spoken in before. And so those were some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Peter also said in verse 18, this is part of Joel's prophecy, that my men servants and my maid servants will have my Holy Spirit in these days. What was he saying there? Even the lowly, even the maids and the servants of the well-to-do or the servants of the upright people, he said, even they will receive the Holy Spirit. What's he saying? That there was no limit to the people that could receive it, that even the lowly, the downcast, the downtrodden, the outcast of society, those that didn't count for anything, those that had no land, had no title, those that had no great benefits in their life, they would also receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit would be poured out on the lowly and the humble and those who believed that it was for them. 1 Peter 5:5 is a scripture that I want to impart into you. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, and cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 6 in 1 Peter 5. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Beloved, God's blessings, God's revelation, God's gifts, God's greatest outpourings, his abundance, and when he wants to take you to a new level, if you are humble before him, if you are down low and you are worshiping him and you are down low and you are crying out to him and you are down low and you are praying to him, beloved, when you are low, when you humble yourself before the Lord, he sees it and he will exalt you. And beloved, when you humble yourself and you say, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want your fire. Lord, I want your power. When you humble yourself before him, the Lord hears your prayer. The Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows your sincerity. And when you do that, God then says, oh, I like that. I'm going to pour out my spirit on that brother, just as it was in the day of Pentecost. I'm going to pour out my spirit on that brother or sister, on that manservant or that maidservant, and they shall prophesy, they shall speak in tongues, they shall have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they shall want to be my witness, they shall want to have that power to go to the ends of the earth to share the gospel message. Well, beloved, that message is for you today. It is for every person today. And I trust that you are asking the Lord for it. If you have never confessed your sins, if you never repented of your sins and trusted Jesus for salvation, that's where your walk with the Lord starts. Turn your life over to Him. Turn your life around. Turn from your wicked ways. Ask the Lord to come in to your heart and save you. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That includes you today. And then the Lord will bless you with the baptism of fire and the Holy Spirit, and you will have that power to want to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to partner with this ministry for the great projects we have going in Africa, the children's home. I would love for all of you to sponsor a child in our children's home. You can do that very easily. Contact me at my email, pureprairie@hotmail.com. I would love for you to be a supporter of this ministry, to pray for this ministry. We would love to hear from you and keep these radio broadcasts coming here in the USA as well. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.